growing and going. That's what God wants of us. If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 17. John chapter 17 this morning as we return there. You know that God, that's what God wants of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He wants you continually growing in Christ. And then going with the Word, just like we heard Brad just saying, I'm going to keep telling people about Christ. May that be our desire, our true heart desire, to keep growing in Christ and keep going with the gospel. I want you to think for a moment about why Jesus said to his followers back in chapter 16, in verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation. Why did Jesus say that? Shouldn't following Jesus make life less troublesome? Shouldn't there be less tribulation for those who are believers in Jesus Christ? Shouldn't following Jesus make life less difficult? Why isn't being a Christian in this world trouble-free? Or maybe you've said it a different way. And I don't mean to be a poet, but why me? Maybe you've said, why me as a believer? Why, Lord, I want to honor you. Why? I want my life to glorify you. Why me? Why am I going through this? Why am I facing this hardship? Why am I being persecuted for my faith in Christ? Why isn't being a Christian in this world trouble-free? And is it possible to live as a Christian in the world with confidence and joy? Is it possible? It must be possible, because in the same passage in chapter 16 in which Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, he also said this. If you're at John 17, you can actually turn back to chapter 16 and look at verse 33 where Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Take heart. It's like he's pointing back. I said these things to you that in me you may have peace, but take heart. You can have peace. I have overcome the world, says Jesus. But take heart. I have overcome the world. It is possible to live in this world with this warning of Jesus, in the world you will have tribulation, and yet still know and have confidence and experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Even in the passage we looked at last week, we heard here in chapter 17, verse 13, where Jesus prayed these words, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So yes, in answer to my previous question, it is possible to live in this world where, for believers in Jesus, there will be trouble. It won't be easy, but God does prepare and God does equip us to live in this world. And He goes with us into this world to carry out His good purposes. I pointed to them as I began this morning. He wants us growing in the truth. And He wants us going with the truth. The verses we're going to look at today make clear how God intends to help us, even as we continue to live in a world that's hostile toward God and hostile toward God's people. So let's consider verses 14 through 19 this morning in John chapter 17. And as we continue our look at the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is a forward-looking and victorious and joyful prayer of Jesus, which He prayed on the night before He was taken and crucified. Jesus was praying this prayer the night before He was crucified. So follow along as I read, as Jesus continues His prayer here, picking up at verse 14 and reading through verse 19. Look at your copy of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version. Jesus prays, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. We saw last week here in John 17 that the disciples were not worse off after Jesus was crucified. Not worse off because he was not physically with them in their presence. And we are not worse off than the disciples just because we've never had Jesus physically in our presence. You see, God had put the disciples in the care of Jesus Christ as he walked this earth and he was with them in their presence. But now, as the time approaches for him to be crucified, we saw it last week, it's as if Jesus is giving them back over to the Father's care. And today we're just as well cared for by God as the disciples were after Jesus was crucified. As Jesus put them back into the Father's care, we are in the Father's care. Now we see in the text another reason Jesus prayed for the disciples. We also learn by this how Jesus intercedes for us at the Father's hand, even now. So why does Jesus pray for them? And why does Jesus intercede for us even now? Jesus prayed for the disciples then, and he intercedes for us even now because followers of Jesus are still in this world. If you're a believer in Jesus, you might wonder sometimes why Jesus doesn't take you home already. But Jesus has kept us here in this world, and as long as we have breath given to us by God, remember, as followers of Jesus Christ remain in this world, he warns us and prepares us and doesn't want us to be surprised that the world will hate you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you might think that that seems kind of harsh, but those are the words of Jesus as he prays here in verse 14. Look at verse 14 again. I have given them your word, Jesus says, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now, why did the world hate the disciples? And why would the world hate followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ today? Well, it's because disciples of Jesus have been given God's word, and they have accepted God's word, believed in God's word, and have come to the realization that they were sinners in need of a Savior and needed someone to save them, and that someone is and is only Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, they are saved and forgiven their sins. And they have had the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed to them, and they have accepted it as truth, and they have believed it. And when you believe the truth of God's word, when you trust in Jesus Christ, God works in you to grow in you a desire to know the truth of God's word, to know who God is, to know him more, and a desire to grow and keep growing. He also, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, with the Word and by His Spirit will grow in you, if you're obedient to God and His Word, He will grow in you a desire to go with the truth, to keep going with the truth and telling others about Jesus Christ. Because the gospel reveals the fundamental truth that Jesus has come from heaven. He is God in human flesh. And all who believe in him are forgiven their sins and are born again. And if you're a growing believer in Jesus Christ, if you're being obedient to God's word, growing in you is a desire to tell others about Jesus. You're going to want to keep going with the truth, growing and going. That's the disciples. They've believed in Jesus. They are born again. And that makes them, as Jesus says, not of this world. You realize that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in this world, yes, but you're actually a citizen of heaven. You're not of this world. Yes, you're a citizen of the United States of America, but ultimately, that's not true. You are a citizen of heaven if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And that was the disciples. They're still in this world, but they're not of this world because they are believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. They are God's, and they are being cared for by God because they are His. They are God's and they have the Word of God, but the world does not have the Word of God and the world does not believe the Word of God. Now still, you may not think that I've answered the question, so why would the world hate believers? Well, the gospel reveals the sinfulness of mankind. The gospel reveals man's need for salvation. The gospel points to the truth that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. So the gospel reveals the sinfulness of mankind and God's children, those who believe in the word of the gospel, those who believe in Jesus Christ, God's children, will stand out in this world as different because God is changing them with the truth of the gospel. And they represent this truth of the gospel that all people are sinners in need of a Savior. They point to this truth, and if you're going with the truth, you're physically pointing, but also verbally, anybody who will listen, you're telling them about your Savior, and you're telling them that they're sinners in need of a Savior. You're telling them the truth of the gospel. You're telling them that man is lost. You're telling them what the Bible says, that man is lost and trapped and enslaved by sin. And they need to be set free. And the only way to be set free is to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be forgiven your sins. Believing in Him for salvation and forgiveness of sins, it's the only way. When believers take this truth to the world, some people will get angry and they will hate believers because you represent the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why living in this world is not as easy as you would like it to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in and follower of Jesus, then what you have is the Word of God at work in you as God intends it to work. And when you live your life surrendered to Jesus, when you're being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, your life reveals to the world around you that they need a Savior, that they're sinners enslaved by sin, and they will not be set free from captivity until they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Speaking of the Bible, here's how Hebrews 4:12 makes this truth plain. As it speaks of the Bible, the Word of God, says, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is God's Word and how it works in God's people. So the Word of God at work in believers sets them out as not of this world, as Jesus prayed. And those who are of the world, they will lash out at and they will hate believers who believe in Jesus and submit to the truth of God's word and speak the truth of the gospel, sharing the truth to those who desperately need to hear it. You know, the Word of God also heals. It brings life to those who believe. But the world can't see the healing work of the Word of God when it's resisting and rebelling against it. In fact, Satan is actively working, says God's Word, to blind the hearts and minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the truth. They've been blinded by their sin from seeing the light of life. And in their blindness, they will often strike out at those who deliver the good news. And you might think, I'm just telling you the good news of Jesus Christ. And they are only hearing what Satan is whispering in their ears, that they're just fine. And what they're hearing is foolishness. And what they're hearing is from someone who is very bigoted in their belief. And you should strike out against them. Satan is a liar. And he will lie to unbelievers and blind them from seeing and hearing the truth. So, all of that to ask this question, are Jesus' disciples left then to fend for themselves in the midst of this hatred for the truth of the gospel? Are they all by themselves? Are they without help? No, they are not. And no, you are not, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus is praying here for the Father's protection of the disciples, and this is certainly the desire of Jesus for all who believe, that they be protected, that they be equipped, that they be growing in Christ. But look at how Jesus prays here in verse 15. You might think he'd ask the Father to take the disciples out of this world, but that's not what he prays. Verse 15, look at it again. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Knowing the struggle, Jesus, knowing the struggle that we face as believers in this world, it is his desire that his disciples and that all his disciples who come after those disciples in front of whom he is praying to God, that all his followers not necessarily be taken out of the world, but that they be kept from the evil one, that they be given strength and wisdom and spiritual courage to say no to temptation, to say no to the devil's schemes, and to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with the Word of God. And knowing the struggle we face as believers in this world, it is natural for us to want to be taken out of this world. Now, we don't often say, well, Lord, take me home, but we might think, I'll just hang around believers. I will not be around any unbelievers. We might just think, I'll just be in the church. And can't God just bring unbelievers to us here in the church so that they can be saved here? Why do we have to be out in the world? I don't want to be out in the world. So, Lord, I want to just be a part of the church. I just want to be protected by the church, and I don't want to know any unbelievers or spend any time around them or witness to people who might be hostile toward me because I'm telling them the truth. So Jesus prays that God would keep them from the evil one, keep them from temptation, keep them from Satan's ploys to defeat a true God-honoring desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ with unbelievers around them. Jesus was going to ascend to heaven, but the disciples were going to stay, and the disciples were going to continue their work of carrying on what Jesus had begun. They were going to carry on the work that God had given them to do of sharing the gospel, the good news. And we're tempted, I think, as believers sometimes to think that we can be taken out of the world, maybe not taken to heaven just yet, but protected from having to deal with unbelievers. And yet, that's not God's desire. God's desire for leaving his church here is not so that we would just gather on Sundays and then go home and do our work and come back each Sunday and just not speak to unbelievers. No. What God's desire is that he gather us as the church on the Lord's Day to be equipped with the Word of God so that the other 6 days of the week we go out and tell people about Jesus and live for God in this world where we have opportunities to speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. God's plan is not for us to be sheltered in place, so to speak, in the church, protected from the world so that we don't have to deal with them. No, he wants us in the world, but protected from Satan while we're there. And so Jesus prays that. God's plan is to leave his disciples in the world to be messengers of life and light and truth. And even though the crucifixion of Jesus means victory for him and defeat of the devil, you know the devil still holds some power. It's power that God only allows him to have. But as the devil still holds some power in this world, Jesus prays, God, protect them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. So Jesus prays to God, who is greater than the devil, that he would keep them, that he would keep us and each one of us from the reach of the evil one. Why do believers need to be kept from the evil one? Because believers represent Jesus Christ in the world, and the evil one would like to destroy our testimony. The evil one would love for the world to be able to look at us and say, "Hypocrite, you don't practice what you preach." And it's always amazing to me, and it shouldn't be amazed, but it's amazing to me sometimes how unbelievers often know what believers are supposed to be doing. Unbelievers know what you're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be doing. And they'll look at you, if you're not doing it, and say, "Hypocrite, you want me to believe what you're saying, but you don't do it yourself." You know how hard it is for us to walk a sinless life, and yet God wants us to pursue Christ-likeness, to pursue the truth of God's Word, to know Him fully, to know who He is, and to walk with the power of the Word in us, growing in our obedience, so that those who know you best might hear your testimony, and they would see that, no, you're not perfect, but you're becoming more like what you're talking about. You're becoming more and more like the Savior you say you believe in. They want to see you changing. And God wants you to be changing, to be growing. But He doesn't want you to keep the good news to yourself. He also wants you to be going with the truth. And so Jesus Christ prays this: "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Why do believers need to be kept from the evil one? Because believers represent Jesus Christ in the world, and the devil hates all who bear witness to the love of Christ. The devil hates the truth. And he hates anyone who bears the truth of Christ, the love of Christ. And that's why Jesus says there in verse 16, "They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world." And the thing that marks out believers as not being of this world is that they believe the gospel and follow Christ. Believe the good news of Jesus Christ and follow the Savior. But the devil doesn't want believers doing that. The devil wants you, in fact, he's okay with you being a part of the church, as long as you'll keep the message to yourself. Go ahead, grow. Go ahead and think you're growing by just going to church every Sunday, but yet keep your mouth shut and don't tell others about Jesus. Don't tell them about your Savior. The devil loves that. And Jesus knows this. He doesn't want us sharing the good news, but the Lord Jesus Christ is with us by His Spirit and His Word. And Jesus prays this prayer to the Father: "Keep them from the evil one." This is a prayer Jesus prays for you and me. If your hope is in Jesus Christ, Jesus prays this to you: "Keep them from the evil one. Do not let their faith be defeated by the devil's schemes and lies." So why, again, doesn't Jesus want us taken out of this world? Because God intends for the good news of the gospel to be carried along by the growing obedience of His people, by the growing obedience of His children. This is how God delivers the message in the world. Certainly, God could write in the skies. Certainly, God could send miracles across the face of the earth. But that's not how God has chosen to work. He has chosen to send messengers, His own people, who were once bound in chains of sin and yet now know the truth of Jesus Christ and have trusted in Him and are being changed by the truth. Note that God does not leave us, though, without help. He doesn't expect us to do this in our own strength. We're not alone to do this work under our own power. You know, He also doesn't expect us to use our own cleverness, our own scheming. You know, sometimes we think we can outsmart unbelievers and trick them into believing. And yet that's not how God works. God draws unbelievers to Himself, and He opens the eyes of unbelievers to see their need of Jesus Christ and believe in him and be saved. And yet God also used messengers of the truth to deliver that good news, to point people to the gospel, the word of God. And so Jesus prays something very important for us next in verse 17 when he prays this. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Do you want to know how you keep from being, and even I think often some schemes of the devil include this, that the devil wants you kind of thinking of your own clever ways to trick people into believing, and you can't do that, but the devil wants you to think you can. God helps you learn how to share the gospel and how to live your life. And Jesus points to it here in the prayer, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God doesn't want you believing lies. He doesn't want you believing the lies of the devil. He doesn't want you even coming up with your own schemes for delivering the gospel. He wants you to share it in the way that he delivers it, in truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now you might wonder, what is it to be sanctified? Well, in simple terms, it's the setting apart of someone for sacred duty. It's being set apart and made holy for God's good purposes. And you can see here how God intends to do that. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for service to the kingdom of God, for the goodness of Jesus Christ, with the truth. Your word is truth. Because sometimes we might wonder, well, what's the truth? Well, the word is truth. Jesus says it right there. So when Jesus prays, sanctify them or set them apart, he's talking about the disciples being set apart for God's good purposes. And what is God's good purpose? It is to share with mankind the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of his sacrificed son for sinners. But it's not these disciples only whom God sanctifies and sets apart for his purposes. It's also all people who follow Jesus. It wasn't just for those disciples in that day. It's for all disciples in every day, in every age. That includes us if we're disciples of Christ. It's for all people who follow Jesus that God works in to sanctify, to set apart, and make holy in this work of carrying the gospel to the world. So you might wonder, how is this sanctifying or setting apart to be accomplished? Note, it's done as Jesus prayed. I point to it again. In the truth. God does his work with the truth of his word in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, as we take it, as God's word, as we take steps to obey it. And this is why it's so important that God's people be people of the word. Because this is how God does the work of keeping us from the evil one. He does it with the truth of his word. Do you want to be kept from Satan's schemes to whisper lies into your life? Get the truth of God's word in your heart and mind. Be saturated with the word. Devote yourself to a lifelong Bible reading plan that you will read God's word for the rest of your life, because you need to be saturated with the truth. You need to be sanctified by the truth, which is the word of God. God gave us one book. He gave us the Bible, the word of God. And if we're to be sanctified and set apart for God's good purposes, then we must be people of the book. You might be people who watch the news or who read other books or who read other things, find things on the internet to read. But you first and foremost ought to be a person of the book that God has given you. You need God's word in your life to sanctify you, to grow you, to set you apart with the truth so that you will be protected from the evil one and his schemes and lies. If we're to be sanctified and set apart for God's good purposes, then we must be people of the Word of God. The Word, the truth. We must read it to understand who God is and how God thinks and what He desires of His people. and what He requires of us and how He helps us. You need to be encouraged with that truth on how He helps you obey Him with every day that He gives you. So next we see the purpose for which God's people are sanctified in the truth. Because Jesus sends His disciples into the world to do the work of spreading the good news. And that's why Jesus prays this in verse 18. Look at it again. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. God the Father sent God the Son into the world. Why? Ultimately, not to just do miracles, not to just teach truth. Ultimately, to be the sacrifice for sinners, to be the gospel. So, if we're to pick up the purpose for which God sent the Son, and as Jesus prays, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world, what's our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ? We're to go with the gospel. We're to be changed by the gospel, we're to be growing in it, and we're to be going with the gospel. As you sent me into the world, prays Jesus. Why did the Father send the Son into the world? It's to be that sacrifice for sinners. And now, we're to declare that truth of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners. That's the gospel. There's a Savior. And if you know Him, you can simply tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners. And so when Jesus says, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world, we need to understand this as God's people being sanctified and set apart for the same purpose that Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified so that sinners could be saved. We're sanctified so that sinners can be saved, so that we can share the gospel, the good news. And then Jesus, in His prayer, points to the work that He does in us as He is consecrated by His obedience. And because of His obedience, believers are assured of this sanctifying work of God in them, growing them in Christ's likeness. As they obey His word, as we obey God's word, we have this promise of the sanctifying work of God growing us in Christ's likeness, strengthening us in our faith. And so Jesus prays this in verse 19, and for their sake I consecrate myself. For their sake. Who's He praying about? Believers. For their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. There it is again. We need the truth to grow in Christ, to be set apart for the good purposes of our God. How is Jesus consecrated, though? How is Jesus consecrated? Because He says, and for their sake I consecrate myself. Some translations use the word sanctified here. How is Jesus sanctified? How is He set apart or consecrated? The central purpose of Jesus on earth was His death. His death on the cross for sinners. A sinless sacrifice. Jesus was completely sinless. The central purpose of Jesus being on earth was His death, and then His resurrection and His ascension into heaven. But all for sinners. And for this, He sets Himself apart for this crucifixion. This is Him consecrating Himself for this crucifixion. And we're reminded here in verse 19 that were it not for the obedience of Jesus, there would be no sanctification of His followers. If Jesus hadn't obeyed the Father, there would be no growing for followers of Jesus. There would be no going with the truth, because there would be no truth to go with. But Jesus was sanctified. He was consecrated. And because He was, those who follow Him are being sanctified, are being grown with the truth as they seek to obey it and submit their lives to Christ. And we are being helped by God to grow spiritually. And we're being set apart for God's good purposes in this world. As we live in the midst of a hateful world, those who push back against the good news and call it a lie, when it is the truth, indeed, the only truth that sets people free from sin and captivity and bondage to sin. And so here's the point of all this, if you're a follower of Christ. just as Jesus prayed for the disciples, just as He interceded for them, He intercedes for you now, if you're a follower of Christ. And as He leaves you here in this world, and though you will face the hatred of an unbelieving world, He wants you to be growing in the truth and going with the truth. God wants you to be growing in His Word and going to the world with the gospel as He does His sanctifying work in you, as He is setting you apart for this purpose. And He does it with the Word of God, with the truth of the Scriptures. He sets you apart and makes you holy as you submit yourself to the truth of God's Word and seek to obey it with your life. He keeps you. You don't keep yourself in this salvation that's yours. He keeps you. But by your obedience, you glorify God. And you make Him known. And God gives you opportunities to tell others, to be going with the truth of the gospel, even to a world who hates the truth because Satan's convincing them to hate the truth. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ought to pray for each other. You ought to look around today and think of your brothers and sisters in Christ this week and pray for each other that we will keep growing in Christ, that we will be sanctified in the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's Word, and that we will keep going into the world, that we won't just shelter away from the world, but that we'll take a risk of being rejected and hated because we share the truth of the gospel, the life-changing, life-saving truth of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged by Jesus' prayer here for you if you are His disciple, and be challenged. Be challenged afresh in your faith by the testimony of believers who have gone before you, even persecuted. Even those today who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ because their love for God compels them to tell others about their Savior. Be encouraged and be challenged to be growing and going with the truth of God's Word, sharing the good news of Jesus crucified for sinners with anyone who will listen.